You're listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. And joining us today, Susan Bigelow, columnist with CT News Junkie, and Mike Dobbs, managing editor of the Reminder Newspapers. Welcome to you both.
Hey, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
This week, the operators of Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun said they plan to forge ahead with a joint casino in East Windsor, Connecticut. It's designed to compete with the MGM Springfield Resort. Mohegan Tribal Chair Kevin Brown, during a legislative hearing in Hartford this week, also took a swipe at MGM for being too zealous about revenue projections.
When you are pursuing a license in a jurisdiction, it has been referred to, the euphemism is, it's a beauty contest. And oftentimes companies will overpromise and underdeliver. And that is exactly what's happening.
In a statement, MGM Springfield said it's pleased with its customers' response to the resort. Susan, the Connecticut tribes still have some hurdles to clear. According to the current state law, they need federal approval to go ahead, something they've struggled getting, or they need to change the state law entirely. Do you see them getting this off the ground anytime soon?
Well, it's funny that they're complaining about overpromising when they're trying to erect a very small casino. It's also very interesting to me that it's come out that they actually aren't. The casino in Springfield is not drawing as much revenue away from the casinos in southeastern Connecticut as was thought. There are a lot of hurdles left to go. There is some interest in the legislature about changing that law. Of course, there's always opposition from a bunch of Bridgeport lawmakers who want an MGM casino of their own.
So, Mike, what do you make of all of this from a Springfield perspective? It looks like revenues at MGM have leveled off a bit, bringing in $21.5 million in December.
I think what we should understand is something that was told to me by a member of the Gaming Commission, and that person said to me that in the casino business, it takes about 3 years for a casino to find its way, to understand what really the market is, what they need to adjust in terms of gaming opportunities or entertainment offerings or food offerings, hospitality. So I guess I'm not as worried as some people are about what MGM is doing, because I suspect that they're looking at what they're doing and that they're going to make adjustments that will position them better. I will say that I had expected to see more entertainment offerings at this point than what they have currently had. But again, maybe that's part of the adjustments.
Meanwhile, in Springfield, police seized 200 pounds of marijuana from a vendor party taking place in the same building as a strip club. People could pay for an entrance fee and then buy the drug or products at this event, and it was not held, we should mention, within the confines of the club. Mike, you happened to be in a cigar lounge on the second floor of this building and saw some of this unfold. You also spoke with a source for one of these so-called cannabis communities who claims all of this is legal. So what's their argument?
Their argument is that there's a loophole, in the law that allows a private group of people to form an organization, to have a private event, members only, and at that event, people who grow it can either, quote unquote, sell it for a donation, give it to someone for a donation, or they simply give it to other people, that those people do not leave the event with more than 1 ounce, and that these events are popping up all over the valley. When I spoke to one of my sources about it, I was told that at the time I was talking to him, there was four such events taking place in the Pioneer Valley. This is all being created because there's a huge amount of demand for cannabis for both medicinal and recreational purposes, but people are feeling that there's a bottleneck created by the limited number of retail outlets and the limited amount of dispensaries for medical cannabis.
Susan, picking up on Mike's point, is there a problem in Massachusetts getting these stores open, and do state regulators maybe need to look at that process again in the system that's in place right now, given what happened in Springfield last week?
It feels like the process has been sort of agonizingly slow. And sort of watching this from an outside Connecticut perspective, it seems like this process, it seems like it's very clunky, and it seems like people don't really understand what the law is, what the law actually allows, and that's on the part of law enforcement as well. So there's a lot of confusion. I think that for people like in Connecticut who are looking at legalization, that there's a lot to be learned here about what to do, what not to do.
Also this week, we heard about a Connecticut man who is opening a chain of smoothie shops after being exonerated in connection with a fatal 1986 Springfield nightclub shooting. Mark Shand then pursued compensation from the state, but that also was a long process, and here he is.
They should be compensated because they've wronged you, and they can't give you your years back. So the fact that they yanked me and incarcerated me for 30 years, the money they gave me means nothing.
Shand did eventually settle for $450,000, but got less after he paid off his attorney's fees. And Susan, the maximum settlement has gone up since Shand dealt with all of this, but the process is still very complicated. Is more change needed?
Absolutely. The process as it stands now is very sort of, it's adversarial, where the person actually has to prove innocence, and not just because, you know, you could have been exonerated, but apparently the law is written so that they don't want people who just got out on a technicality to get this money. Okay, but that means that people who were wrongly convicted have to go through this lengthy legal process, and I should say expensive legal process as well, to actually get the money that's owed to them. It feels like it's another injustice being done to people who have already suffered.
Mike, what about this idea that those whose guilty verdicts are tossed out still have to prove their innocence in order to be compensated?
Well, I can understand, just as Susan pointed out, the logic behind that. But at the same time, when you look at this particular case, I mean, look at what this guy has done. He's an entrepreneur. He's gotten a successful business. He is clearly doing something with his life that should be admired and frankly, emulated. I really think his example alone, we should take another look at the law in Massachusetts.
And finally, Patriots will be playing in the Super Bowl against the Rams coming up this weekend, looking for yet another Super Bowl title. Susan, will you be watching? I'll give you a couple of seconds to talk about why or why not.
Nope, I'm not going to be watching. Two reasons. The first reason, it's harder for me to enjoy football ever since learning about all the traumatic brain injuries that so many of the players have been suffering. It feels like I'm watching men destroy themselves, and that's hard to take. Also, I'm still a little bitter about something that happened 20 years ago. In Connecticut, we have long memories, and we remember the time that the Patriots said they were going to move to Hartford and then didn't. It was all part of a ploy by owner Robert Kraft to get more money for a stadium in Foxborough. So, no, I'm going to, if you need me, I'll be at the hockey game.
Mike?
I intend to be watching some really quality movies. That's what I intend to do. But I came prepared, so I got to say, go Pats, goat, do your job. Do I have the trifecta of euphemisms here?
You did indeed come prepared,
wow,
Mr. Dobbs.
Thank you.
Mike Dobbs of The Reminder and Susan Bigelow of CT News Junkie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.